Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. Now, in recent months, there's been so much focus on geopolitics, defence and competitiveness that other important items haven't perhaps received the attention that they deserve. One of those is animal welfare. It's estimated that around 44% of European citizens keep a pet. And now MEPs have laid down the first ever minimum standards in the EU for breeding, housing and handling cats and dogs. This is because a majority of owners buy their pets online and traceability has become a huge issue. The European Parliament hopes that its draft law will deal with the irresponsible importation of animals from outside the EU. The trade in cats and dogs is worth around 1.3 billion euros per year. Of course, animal welfare is about more than identification, microchipping and so on, and we'll try to get into some of those broader questions as well. My guests are both vice chairs of the Intergroup on the Welfare and Conservation of Animals. Manuela Ripa is a German MEP from the European People's Party. Welcome to you. And Michal Wiezik is a Slovak MEP from the centrist Renew Bloc. Welcome to you as well.
Hello, glad to be here.
So, Manuela Ripa, some political forces have said, why is the European Union trying to legislate on this? Let's leave it to the national level or the local level. But you're not convinced by that argument.
Absolutely not, because illegal pet trade is a huge problem in the European Union. You have to imagine it's a criminal business worth billions. And what we get, what buyers get if they buy a pet, especially online, sick animals that have behavioral problems. And that is a big burden also for them. Not only did this animal suffer, but also they have very high veterinary costs. And let us not forget that 74% of all European citizens want better regulation for companion animals.
Yeah. And Michal Wiezik, your group has talked about the Wild West of online pet sales. So you've welcomed these rules as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I do, because the problem is really pan-European, let's say like that. There was just a case in Slovakia where an illegal breeding facility was exposed, which hosted around 850 animals suffering in horrible conditions. And all of these animals were produced, really produced, not breeded, but produced for Western European countries. So from Slovakia, they were exported probably for years to really be sold in a way of a black market, let's say like that. Right. One such animal could be sold for instance, 1,000 euro. So you just can imagine the scope of this illegal trade, the tax avoidance and the suffering that is really part of this naughty business.
And just to be clear, if somebody is buying this kind of animal online, they're not given the information.
Yeah, they are not aware about the background for sure. Yeah. And they actually risk what actually Manuela stressed, that the animal will not be in a good condition, which usually is the rule.
Yeah. So, Manuela Ripa, let's talk a bit about how this process actually works going forward, because obviously you worked a lot on closing the loopholes when it comes to things like microchipping and traceability, haven't you?
Yes, exactly. I was the rapporteur for the ENVI, for the Environment Committee opinion on this file. And for me, it was very important that we microchip all dogs and cats, because only then you can have full traceability of the animals and you don't allow loopholes, because as I already said, there's a criminal network, so they will take every loophole that they get in order to do their illegal trade, and that's why it's so important.
Yeah, and so once these rules come into effect, then somebody who's buying an animal will have to pre-register. That's the first stage, isn't it? And then they have to show that they've microchipped the animal that's arrived.
Yes, exactly. First of all, if you sell an animal, if you place it on the market, you have to microchip this animal and register this animal. That means that a buyer knows who was the owner or who is the previous owner and where this animal comes from. This is very important, especially for the online trade. I give you a very simple example. The other day I was in the park and I saw a woman and it seemed that she had a rabbit. And I was thinking, what is she doing with a rabbit? But when I came nearer, it was a small puppy, and this was completely distressed. It had behavioral problems, and this woman was crying. And I said, I bought it online, and it's expensive. She spent more than 1,000 euros for it, and they gave it out of a trunk of a car to me, and I don't know where to go to. The police can't do anything, and this will stop, because you have to register this animal so you will know who the owner is. And when you do it online, you have a link where you can see that that this animal is registered.
Yeah. And Michal Wierzyk, your party has talked also about more support to shelters and, you know, stray animals. And that's, I think, linked to this whole discussion, because if we had more traceability, we would avoid perhaps some of the problems
of stray animals. That's the one point. Yeah. And another point is that, of course, there will be infringement of this legislation. So the penalties will be there as well. Yeah. And we really think that it's important so that the penalties, you know, the resources that can be extracted from the penalties will be channeled directly toward the shelter houses and all those people who really care for the abandoned animals. Not only there will be less abandoned animals, because if the dog or cat is chipped, you can simply trace back the owner and return the dog. Sometimes it's a lost dog, sometimes it's an abandoned dog, but it's no dog or cat should be abandoned or is allowed to be abandoned. But on the other hand, you know, the resources that are very much needed in the field for the shelters will be channeled this way by the member states. So it's also a huge improvement.
I mean, abandonment is a huge issue. As you know, in France, for example, it's during these summer months that 60% of abandonment incidents actually happen. So it's something that really has to be addressed as well.
Absolutely. You know, if this animal is chipped, it will foster responsible ownership, because then people don't think, oh, I have to go on vacation. Well, let's just leave it there in the wood. This can't happen anymore, because they will be penalized for this. And it will help enormously shelters. They're overcrowded. And in the end, a lot of found animals we have in these shelters. And the municipalities, they have also to shoulder a lot of costs, the costs for these found animals. So in the end, it's the municipalities and the taxpayers who pays for these abandoned animals, and this will not be possible anymore.
So we need traceability for that. I'm just wondering, do you think that these rules might also help to boost the whole broader animal welfare agenda when it comes to things like live transport of farm animals, caged animals, and all those sort of things as well?
Well, it's definitely part of the package that was promised by the Commission to all of us, that it will put forward a package improving the animal welfare in general, not only for the companion animals, but for the farmed animals. Yeah. So we are currently working on a very important legislation or approval of legislation on live animal transports, but we are also expecting the Commission to represent us their proposals on caged animals, on fur animals, on testing animals and stuff like that, because it has been promised already very much in the previous mandate based on the demand that comes from public. So Commission is very strict on this. But really, to be quite frankly, it's becoming more and more difficult to really improve the situation. Even the Commissioner for Animal Welfare, we have now a Commissioner for Animal Welfare, which is also quite a lot of improvement, says that he is willing to properly implement the existing legislation and not to go that much into introducing a new one, which is quite a critical statement, because from what we know, the current legislation, even if properly implemented, is not fit for purpose for many aspects of, for instance, animal transport, where it simply induces a lot of suffering, which is unacceptable. So we cannot go on, we cannot improve the situation without new regulations.
Yeah, so there's two issues there, I guess, is better enforcement of existing legislation and the need for new legislation as well. Where do you stand on those two points?
We need both. We absolutely need enforcement, because on animal transport, a lot of regulation is not properly put into practice. That is a problem. But we also have to limit the transport period, the transport hours. This is also something that we need to
take. Yeah, that's right, because there was an inquiry that showed that in some member states that period was not actually respected, the transport period.
Exactly, not respected. But we also have to limit the time that animals are transported, especially very young animals. And so they need much more rest. And that's why also we need a new law on this one. And especially the most important thing, we need a level playing field in Europe who tackles this.
Yeah. And what about, you know, this idea of not an outright ban, but a kind of phased phasing out of, you know, cages and things like that? These are things that the Commission has been talking about. You get the impression, I think, that they're going very cautiously on that file.
Well, but It might be useful, or it might be really logical, because sometimes the implementation of the regulation really requires a lot of effort, and the situation differs from member states to member states, so these transition periods are really very much needed. Yeah. Actually, the logic behind that is that the transition period should not allow the continuing of the false practice, but really allow for the preparing of the new one, you know, the new conditions. What we actually see is a sort of a postponement of the proposals, which might be politically driven, or which might be the expression of the current political situation, where there is simply a lack of political will to introduce new regulations. So there's always a very complex story, but we would really like to see Commission being very effective and very fast in proposing new legislations, because we are really talking about suffering of millions and billions of animals annually in Europe in conditions that we simply prefer not to see, but they will not go away without us actually acting.
Just on a final point, Manuel Europa, because we don't have much time now, but to get back to these rules on pets specifically, just quickly outline for us what are the steps in the legislative process, because now I think there's negotiations with the council that are meant to happen. So when do you think the rules will actually be in force?
Well, we just adopted a very strong position of the European Parliament with a legislation that really closes loopholes. Now we have the trilogues with the Commission and the Council, and I hope that they will get maximum end of the year, they will find an agreement, or even sooner. I would prefer even sooner, so that this legislation comes into force for more animal welfare, for more traceability of animals, and for stopping illegal trade.
Okay, we'll end it there. Thank you so much to my guests, Michal Wiezek and Manuel Repa, for this important discussion on animal welfare in the European Union. Do stay tuned to us here on France 24.